It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Lots of North Texas kids are spending these lazy summer days at camp. One of those camps is at the Trinity River Audubon Center in Dallas. And as KERA's Stella Chavez reports, students aren't just playing outside. They're learning about nature.
On this hot, sunny morning, Kayla Adams is leading students on a nature walk.
Part of the Trinity River. As you guys can see, it is brown.
As they stop to look out at the Trinity River, Adams explains why the river looks so brown. Some of it is erosion, and some of it is people dump stuff in it, a lot of stuff. It's not exactly inviting on this steamy summer day. The kids were sweating, but had lots of questions.
What? I wonder what's in there other than fish. Maybe from
very dirty, polluted water.
The students are from several different elementary schools across Dallas. They're part of a camp organized by the Dallas School District, Boys and Girls Club, and the company Mad Science. The key is to make sure kids have fun while also learning during the summer months. As the kids walk along the trail, they ask Adams, are there any alligators? How about snakes?
Do you have even any beaver dams?
We do have beaver dams, but again, they're like far into the woods. They're not usually on the trails.
Also, they're not going to be like in the lake?
Y'all have water snakes?
Do y'all have any animals that burrow?
I don't think so. Not here.
Demetria Bell is the summer camp principal. The goal for these city kids isn't just to learn about how nature works, but that nature is beautiful. Exercises like these, she says, can help them do some self-reflecting and realize that beauty is everywhere.
So what we hope that the children will do is get an appreciation for nature overall. And to respect nature, one of the things that we've just talked about was pollution in the Trinity River. And those are things that we want to teach kids early on because those are things that ultimately affect our society negatively.
The kids trudge along the path and stop when they see what look like potholes in the ground. Adams explains these holes were made by hogs, wild hogs.
And they sleep here. So look, you're actually seeing their beds right here that look like holes. Yes, ma'am.
So there are hogs, but like when they sleep, they will dig holes, or they will dig holes to keep cool?
It's both, really.
After the nature walk, students head back inside the air-conditioned Audubon Nature Center. They talk about what they learned and what surprised them. 11-year-old Angelique Paget says seeing the Trinity River so dirty bothered her.
Why would people want to pollute the thing that gives you life? Because as scientifically proven, we are 70% made of water, so we need to keep hydrated. So that means instead of polluting water, can we at least try to throw your trash in a trash can?
Life lessons learned from a summertime nature walk. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Artificially intelligent robots sound like an incredible innovation. The question, though, is what to do when they become smarter than us? Today on Think, Chris Boyd spoke with University of Pennsylvania professor Michael Horowitz, who said, among researchers, this quandary is known as the paperclip problem.
The paperclip problem is, imagine you programmed a super intelligent machine and told it to, you know, maximize its production of paperclips. Well, what if it decided that the way to do that was to basically turn the world into a paperclip production factory? And if that involved killing humans, so be it. That because we might not understand the way that an artificial intelligence system thinks, and that's something researchers already, you know, sort of struggle with, that there's always the chance that it will make unpredictable choices. It's the unpredictability of those choices that generate risk. If a super intelligent machine that humans couldn't shut down decided that, in fact, destroying humans was the best way for it to achieve its objective.
Michael Horowitz's essay, Ban Killer Robots, How About Defining Them First, appears in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. The state's STAR standardized test has had a rough year. There have been lots of problems with administering and scoring the test, and folks across Texas are not happy. That includes parents, teachers, principals, and superintendents, just to name a few. The state education commissioner calls the problems unacceptable. Kit Lively is KERA's education director, and she's going to join us from time to time to talk about the state of education in Texas. Kit talked with Eric Austin about the testing woes.
Thanks for stopping by, Kit.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be here.
It seems that everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong this year with this test. So what happened?
Well, it has been a pretty tough year. Glitches aren't unusual with big testing programs, and Texas's is big with about 1 million kids tested. But the number and scope of problems this year were unusually high, and the problems kept multiplying as the year went on. Computers lost student answers. Tests were delivered to incorrect addresses. Some kids were marked as failing when they hadn't. And most recently, the testing company didn't meet its deadlines for sending score reports.
And because of all those issues, I know parents aren't happy, and I know superintendents certainly aren't happy.
Yeah, along the way this year, a group of parents sued the state, claiming that STAR didn't comply with limits on testing times that are required by state law. And nearly 50 superintendents sent a letter to the Texas Education Commissioner, Mike Morath, complaining about things like shipping problems with testing materials and a test question with no correct answer and poor communication when they raised issues with the vendor. It's pretty unusual for a group of superintendents to take issue with the Texas Education Agency publicly.
And the agency, or the TEA, has taken action. Walk me through what the TEA has done.
Well, in response to problems during the test, TEA decided to exclude scores for more than 14,000 students in their accountability reports, and that includes some kids from Arlington. A few weeks ago, TEA threw out summer school requirements for 5th and 8th graders who had failed reading or math parts of the test.
How dramatic is that?
That's a really big deal, because one purpose of the STAR is to determine whether 5th and 8th graders are ready to move up to the next level, which is middle school or high school. Now schools will be making that important decision, and whether kids should go to summer school, using other information like classroom grades and teacher recommendations.
So what does Commissioner Morath have to say about all this?
Well, he issued a statement about the 5th and 8th grade tests, and it said he deeply apologized for the continuing problems that students and staff have experienced. And he attributed those problems to ongoing reporting issues with the testing vendor. The vendor, by the way, is Educational Testing Service, or ETS, which has long been known for tests like the graduate record exam, so they're not new to this business. And this week, the Dallas Morning News reported that the vendor has had to pay $1.4 million in penalties so far this year, and that amount is expected to grow.
So what can we expect next?
Well, I think one unfortunate result of this year's testing problems is that public confidence in the STAR has fallen. And it was never very high to begin with. And now the State Board of Education is gathering public comment on the state's testing and accountability system, and a special commission created by the legislature is looking into whether the system should be changed. The commission report is expected by September 1st.
Texas has a long history of heated debate over this kind of high-stakes school testing. What's the backstory?
Well, Texas has based school and district ratings on annual tests since the 1990s, and our testing system was the foundation for No Child Left Behind. That's the national school reform effort that was passed in 2001 and required tests at all school levels with sanctions attached for poor scores. In Texas, frustration has grown as the number of tests has increased, and the tests have gotten harder. And as they've gained more power, they're now used for things like teacher evaluations, for determining whether kids can be promoted to certain grades automatically, whether kids can graduate, how schools are rated. That's why they're called high stakes.
So how do the problems in Texas compare with other states?
Well, there is a lot of frustration over the amount of time spent on testing and test prep. That's widespread across the country. And in several states, that frustration has led groups of parents to opt their children out of taking the tests. Things are a little different here in Texas. We have a lengthy process for parents to opt out, so that prerogative isn't used very often here. But there is speculation that will change if dissatisfaction continues to grow.
Kit Lively, thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Mostly clear skies expected this evening, low around 77. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 97. It's currently 94 degrees in Dallas, 92 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.